Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the chance to gather again around your word and to consider it carefully. We pray that you speak to us and give us attentive hearts and wills that will be transformed by you, that we might be renewed, encouraged, and built up to live for our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray it in his name. Amen.
Amen.
So what is it that makes a great ending to a film? Or a rubbish ending? Or to teleseries? I hate those teleseries. You watch 9 of them, and then at the end, it doesn't finish. To be continued. What's the point of that? Yeah? Or a film where you get to the end and you think, oh, there's still about 6 things untied, you know, as they haven't worked them out. What makes a good ending? Everything comes together, you know, they get married, they go off into the sunset, all that kind of thing. Well, we've got a bit of an interesting ending to Mark's Gospel that we've just heard read out this morning. And you might think, actually, this is not a very good ending. It sort of rather ends abruptly. Verse 8, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Oh, you might say. That's interesting. It's a bit abrupt. What's gone wrong there? And if you then look at the rest of the text that's on the page, you'll see it says the earliest manuscripts and some other ancient witnesses do not have the end bit. And the end bit is sort of a summary of the things that happen next, and explaining about Jesus asking his disciples to go and preach the message in the world and all that kind of thing. So why... It seems that's not actually the ending that Mark gave the book. It seems that was added in later. Apparently, it's quoted. One of the verses from this is quoted in a Christian writer around about 200 AD. Not saying it's from Mark, but the verse is quoted. But in one of the really important earliest New Testaments, Codex Sinaiticus, it's not there. So it hasn't been included as, well, it's there in italics, but we're not supposed to read it. Read it secretly. It's not really part of the end of Mark's Gospel. So why? One Christian writer has said, three possibilities are open. A, the evangelist intended to close his Gospel at this place. Or B, the Gospel was never finished. Or C, the Gospel accidentally lost its last leaf before it was multiplied by transcription. So there you go, 3 possibilities. He intended to end it like this. He didn't actually finish it, and he wanted to write some more, but didn't get a chance. Or there was another page, and that sort of got lost somewhere before anyone had a chance to copy it and hand it round. I go for the first one, really. I think, actually, it's quite interesting, an ending. That's what we're going to think about tonight. Why the abrupt ending? And I'm going to say that Mark has given us enough information here to change our lives. Enough information to change our lives. But if you look at these women who run trembling and bewildered, who say nothing to anyone, the danger is that we'll be like them and we'll miss the point. What would it mean to miss the point about Jesus? Well, it might mean that actually we do all this stuff, come to church on Sunday evening, week by week, but it doesn't actually have any impact on us and how we live and how we respond to God. That would miss the point about Jesus. Will we be like the women, or will we get the point that Mark, I think, is trying to get across? So the first thing to notice about this is that Jesus was really dead. Jesus was really dead. You get these morgue stories, don't you, of people being taken to the morgue and still being alive. Here's one. Dead man wakes up in body bag. Coroner, man didn't have a pulse when declared dead. Grim, eh? Apparently, the coroner was called to William's home in Lexington, a community north of Jackson, where family members believed he'd died. The coroner says he had no pulse and was pronounced dead Wednesday at 9 o'clock. Early Thursday, workers at some funeral home were preparing to embalm the man when he started to kick in the body bag. Family members were called and Williams was taken to a hospital. The coroner says he believes William's pacemaker stopped working and then started again. Family members say Williams, a farmer, told them he's happy to be alive.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, that's not what happened with Jesus. How do we know that's not what happened? There are 6 witnesses Mark gives us to show us that Jesus really is dead. Thank you, Claire. 6 witnesses. to show. So, and I suppose the question with all these witnesses is, how do we expect people to react to someone who's dead, someone they love who's dead, or someone they know who's dead? And we'll see how these different people react. So first of all, Joseph. Joseph, chapter 15, verse 42 and onwards. Thank you, Claire. Joseph, he's keen and courageous. He comes out of the background and actually boldly goes to Pilate and asks for Jesus' body. He's loving as well. When he gets the body, he buys some linen cloth, wraps Jesus' body in the linen, places it in a tomb carefully. There's something loving about doing this. But Joseph really is missing the point. I mean, I suppose he's a witness to tell us that Jesus is really dead. But you get a real sense in Joseph, maybe we're reading between the lines here, but you get a real sense of someone desperate because Jesus is dead and that's it. And so he rolls the stone against the entrance of the tomb and that's that. But he does show us that Jesus really is dead. The next two witnesses are Pilate and the centurion. So we hear that the centurion, Joseph goes to Pilate. Pilate is surprised, verse 44, to hear that Jesus is already dead. So he gets the centurion in, just like in the film Risen, and checks if Jesus had already died. And it is the case. So here we've got Pilate and the centurion also showing us Jesus is dead. So three witnesses on. And the Romans knew how to kill people on the cross. They were adept at it. They were skilled and they knew what they were doing. So we've got three witnesses and now three more, Mary, and Salome. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, are mentioned in verse 47. And then in chapter 16, verse 1, we also get Mary, and another lady, Salome. These women are not expecting the resurrection, are they? They go down to the tomb with stuff for a dead body. They bought spices so they can go and anoint Jesus' body. So they, like Joseph, are convinced that Jesus is dead. Which is right, because he was dead, but not by the time they turn up on Sunday morning. So Mark has given us six witnesses to show to us that we're supposed to realise that Jesus actually really is dead. So he's not just swooned or passed out temporarily, and he revives in a nice cold tomb, and then with all that strength he's got, because he's been beaten and lashed and hung on a cross for hours, he pushes this massive stone out of the way and leaps out of the tomb. No, that didn't happen. Jesus really was dead. And that's necessary. We need that for the gospel. Oh, another one. Thank you. We need that for the gospel to work, for our rescue to happen. So Jesus said, Mark 10, verse 45, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So he has to die. It's important that he was dead. And Peter, writing later on, said, Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to death, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body. So Peter, another witness for us, I suppose. We've got seven now. But it's important. We need Jesus' death for the whole forgiveness thing to work for us. If he's not dead, we're not forgiven. So, Jesus really was dead. Now, next. Jesus really is alive, and we need to believe it. So, God wants us to be different from the people here. He wants us to believe without seeing, on the basis of the testimony, even though their testimony is a bit odd. Okay? Here's a guy. Oops, we missed one. Go back up again. Page up. Here's a guy called Felix Baumgartner, his name is. And he jumped out of this pod that was suspended by balloons thousands and thousands of feet above the earth, higher than anyone had ever been before. And when he did it, he was surrounded by cameras. Cameras on his suit, in his helmet, cameras in the little pod, cameras all over the place. Why? To prove that he really had jumped out of this little pod miles and miles above the earth. And he just fell to earth, and then eventually a parachute rescued him. Now, what's the point of telling you that? Well, there was lots of cameras there. There were lots of cameras there to give us the evidence. Now, God didn't have the cameras when Jesus was around, but he's made sure that what Jesus did was well witnessed. So, who are our witnesses? It's the women. And the women and their emotions are really interesting. So, how do we expect them to react now if Jesus is alive? Well, they approach the tomb with anxiety, don't they? Verse 3, who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb? So as they're going down to the tomb, they're worried. They're sad because Jesus is dead and they're going to have to embalm his body. But now they're worried as well, they're anxious. Then they get there and their anxiety turns to surprise. When they looked up, so they're looking down at their feet, they saw that the stone, which is very large, had been rolled away. So now they're surprised. What on earth's going on? And then the surprise turns to alarm. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. So they've gone from anxiousness and sadness, anxiety, through surprise to shock, I suppose, alarm. And then the last emotion is fear. Don't be alarmed, they're told. But then verse 8, trembling and bewildered, they went out and fled from the tomb. Now, aren't these great emotions? Because they're genuine, aren't they? They're exactly the emotions these women would expect if Jesus really is risen from the dead and they really do meet this messenger of God to prove it. Mark is giving us their emotions in the way he writes to give us that evidence to show it's a true account. Now, have a look at the angel's instructions. Here we've got some more evidence that Jesus is alive. He says, first of all, verse 6, don't be alarmed or don't be afraid. And this is a classic thing that Jesus says often in Mark's Gospel. If you go back through Mark's Gospel, he's often saying to his followers, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. So the calming of the storm, terrified, don't be afraid, he says. When people are scared after the legion, the guy with the legion has been healed, they're afraid. Jairus, Jesus says, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Jesus walks on water and his disciples are scared again, don't be afraid. And then there's fear as the disciples hear of death. So there's a constant theme, fear and Jesus saying don't be afraid throughout Mark. And here the same is happening, not from Jesus but from the angel. Don't be afraid. Check the evidence. So don't be afraid, but check the evidence. Still verse 6. You're looking for Jesus of Nazarene, who was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. Come on in and have a look. See that it's an empty tomb. And so often in Mark, we've been asked to see things already, haven't we? We've been asked to, as we read it, to see Jesus feeding the 5,000. To see him healing Jairus' daughter. We're there alongside. So again, it's evidence theme going through Mark and coming up here at the end. And so fear, evidence, and then last but not least, tell people. Verse 7, go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll see him, just as he told you. Now what's different about this? We've had fear, we've had lots of fear. We've had evidence throughout Mark, but there's something different about this, isn't there? Because usually Jesus says to them, don't tell, doesn't he? Yeah? So the leper is healed in chapter 1, go away, don't tell anyone what's happened. Legion again, don't tell anyone. Jairus, oh no, Legion is allowed to tell because Jesus is going off in another direction, so Legion can get as big a crowd as he likes. Jairus, secret that his daughter's been raised from the dead. The transfiguration, disciples, don't say a thing until I've been raised from the dead. So it's a little bit unusual that they're told to tell, but it's because Jesus is alive. Now they can tell everybody. Now what was a secret until Jesus had to do what he did is something that's going to be public knowledge. Jesus really is alive and he wants people to know. Believe it. So Mark gives us evidence. It's a different kind of evidence from the other Gospels, but it's evidence. Well, what difference does this make to us then? That Jesus is alive. Two questions. Number one, Why did Jesus rise for us? What's the point of it? It's because he is Lord for us to follow, in Mark's terms. He is Lord for us to follow. In general terms, we can say all sorts of things about why did Jesus arrive. It proves he's Lord, it proves there's life beyond death. Later on in the book of Acts, we'll see it shows that he's the judge, he's going to judge everyone. And for us today, you might immediately say it shows there's new life that we can have. And all those things are true. For Mark, the point is, he's Lord for us to follow. So remember, we've seen in Mark authority. This is authority over all sorts of things. Death, sin, sickness. And ultimately now, that his authority over our lives through death to bring life. We've seen fulfilment of Jesus' word. And that's certainly true with Jesus' death, because four times he speaks about his death and resurrection. That's happened. Death has happened. His resurrection's happened. There are three predictions, but there's one also when he talks about the transfiguration. So his word is fulfilled. Next. It's a confirmation that he is the Christ. Right back where we started, where the book began, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Mark is all about this identity thing and mission. So first half of Mark, who is he? Second half of Mark, what's he going to do? And right at the end now, he's risen. It's a confirmation that Jesus is the one. He is the Christ. He is the one who has to die for us. And then, so where does that take us? That takes him being the Lord. So he's very much Lord because he's risen. We've had authority, his word is fulfilled, and it confirms everything he said. So he's Lord, but also it's about following. And there's a little clue in the fear here, because it seems that in the rest of Mark, fear leads to faith, and that leads to following. It seems that, so this is maybe a new thing for you, me, something I read up when I was looking at this. There's various places where, like with Jairus' daughter and Jairus, and like with the disciples, when they're afraid, it leads to them having to trust in Jesus, and that leads to them eventually having to follow Jesus. And it may well be that because of the fear that's been mentioned here of the women, that's supposed to pick that idea up in our minds again, that we're supposed to trust. We may not understand this completely, but we trust faith. And as we trust, we follow Jesus. So he's Lord for us to follow. Maybe that's why Mark ends it like this. So I suppose the question then ultimately for us is to think of this. Next one, please. Are we like the disciples before they realise things? Are we like the disciples and blind to who Jesus really is? Throughout Mark's gospel, they're like that, aren't they? They see and hear amazing things, but they don't really realise that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And even when they do, they don't realise how great that is. And as we get to the end, I suppose we're forced to ask the question, are we the same as that? Do we see Jesus as he is, risen, alive and amazing? And if we don't, maybe that has a, well, it does have a huge impact on us, doesn't it? Because in the terms of Mark's gospel, we don't then step out in faith and follow him. We don't deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him as he calls us to. In Mark 8, these are the words of Jesus. If anyone will come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And in times gone by, Christians used to speak a lot about stepping out in faith. And maybe we stopped doing that so much. We're so well cared for in our society and things, we don't think about it. How often do we think of stepping out and doing something for the Lord that seems risky, where there's no obvious kind of safety net for us in whatever way that may come? Do we fight sin in our lives by stepping out in faith? Do we rejoice in our lives, even when we're maybe feeling a bit rubbish, by stepping out in faith against depression? Do we depend on Jesus as much as we could by stepping out in faith in our lives rather than just being safe? Maybe too often we're those who love the world and want to save our lives. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. The resurrection in Mark seems to be saying to us, here's the evidence. Jesus is the Lord who you can follow. Step out in faith. So, why did Jesus rise? Mark wants us to look back and see his big themes all wrapped up at the end there and keep trusting Jesus. It is an abrupt ending, but it's an ending that sends us back to the rest of the book and to ask, leads us to ask, what will we be like? Will we be like the disciples who don't understand and struggle to follow? Or will we be those who hear his word, see his authority, and step out in faith in our lives? Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all the great things we read throughout Scripture about Jesus' resurrection. And thank you that he is Lord, there's new life, and he's the judge, and all the great things. And thank you for Mark's focus on being a follower of the Lord and responding to Jesus by faith. Help us to be those who respond in this way. Help us to be bold because of you in the way that we live for you in our own lives, in fighting sin, in reaching out to other people, in seeking to do good. Help us to put ourselves to one side, and because you are the Lord whom we can follow, the living Lord, help us to step out in faith. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen.